Anybody else want to go? Amen. Good group going down that way. They go down and have a Bible lesson. I know y'all wonder sometimes what to do. They don't go down there just play. They go down and have a Bible lesson. That's what church is about. They tell them about Jesus. And that's an opportunity and privilege we have a lot of times to talk about the Savior of the world. And I want to spend a little time on that this morning. It seemed like the song services is leaning kind of toward heaven, and Know My Name is there, and then I don't know, and I guess that's kind of like the week we've been in. Tommy's mom had passed away this week, and we took care of that funeral. We planted her. Some people say, well, what do you mean planted her? Well, you plant Christians because they're coming up again. Amen. You bury sinners and plant Christians, and we planted her so she'll rise again. And good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. I want to first start out with, this may seem a little strange to you, but there's times that I am a little strange. You know, I told everybody, talking to Tommy's boss up there, she said, I've heard some things you said. I said, well, I warned them before I came out there that I wouldn't fit the mold or follow the form. You know, that what God led, that's what I'll do. And she agreed with that. You know, we got it pretty well. Starting out just a little bit of difference this morning, I want to have a spelling lesson. Y'all ready to spelling lesson? Well, some of you need it. Some of you need it. Now, I'm going to need a little help out of this. I thought about this yesterday, earlier in the week, about having a spelling lesson. You know, that we need to learn how to spell some things. And I thought about, how do you spell joy? You spell it J-E-S-U-S. Amen. Y'all kind of catching on. I'm going to get y'all to help me in these things now. J-E-S-U-S. How do you spell peace? J-E-S-U-S. Y'all getting it? Amen. It said, how do you spell comfort? J-E-S-U-S. Everybody's not participating. I want this thing, you know, if this was a... I'm telling you, if Nick Saban was your coach, you'd get chewed out. Of course, he'd chew out anybody, you know. So let's get into this thing. Now, how do you spell comfort? J-E-S-U-S. How do you spell strength? J-E-S-U-S. How do you spell eternal life? J-E-S-U-S. So y'all kind of catching on now. I believe that's an example made, and we've had our spelling lessons, you know, and I thought about these things, joy, peace, comfort, strength, and so many things that God gives us through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I made this statement the other night at the singing, and I'm going to make it again today. I've thought about this thing, and if there was not a heaven... Amen. If there was not a heaven, I'd still want to be a Christian because of these things that God gives me today. Now, thank God for the promise of eternal life and a heaven of wonderful things and great events going on. But I'm going to tell you, when you start talking about Jesus, it's not just heaven that we gain through Him. We gain all these things, joy, peace, comfort, strength. I'm talking about He can lift you up when you're down. And so, if there wasn't a heaven... I'd still want to be a Christian because of the things we get. I want to look at a few verses of Scripture this morning, Romans chapter 10. We're going to talk about salvation. We're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and being sure. You know, singing that song a minute ago, I know my name is written there. Amen. We're talking about the book of life. And so we need to be sure and check up on our salvation. Because, you know, I'd hate to get to heaven one day and start looking around for some of y'all and you're not there. That'd be a sad thing, wouldn't it? To think, what did I do wrong? Where did I make the mistake? And so we'll check up on a little bit of this today. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now I want you to notice the two things that's given here. First, it talks about that you confess with your mouth, and then it said, and shall believe in thine heart. And so it consists of mouth and heart. You know, I know a lot of people can say a lot of things that really their heart's not in it. They don't really believe it in their heart. But this is putting us to a place that, and it's very plain, and this is God's word, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, when you confess him the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice that Lord in front of the Jesus part. When somebody's the Lord of your life, they control it. Amen. That if you're confessing him as Savior and Lord, they're going to have some control and some input into your life and the things that happens and the things you do. And not only speaking with your mouth, this takes the heart that you've got to truly believe. Truly believe. In verse 10 it said, "For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made salvation." So it ties mouth and heart again, and it said through the heart, truly believing. It said, "Man believeth unto righteousness." That's why so many people confess Jesus with their mouth, but don't live for him. With the heart comes the righteousness. They got their mouth in gear, but their heart wasn't there. And I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to tell you. But I'm going to preach to you the Word of God that one day, if I'm held accountable, I'll say, "Well, I told them. I warned them. I gave them the opportunity. God worked with them." In verse 11, "For Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And so that concludes everybody. You know, the Scripture said, "Whosoever will." I thank God for that, that he didn't limit that, or he didn't put any kind of exceptions on it. But he just plainly said, "Whosoever will," that if they will come and they will confess their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not just talking about thinking, "Oh yeah, he was a good man." I'm telling you, he was the Son of God. He died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for our sins that we might be saved. Confess with thy mouth, believe in thy heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so I've come down to a point that God has appointed me an opportunity, a ministry in this day and time that I can preach to you Jesus Christ. That's the way you're going to hear it. How many of you turned on a newscast today or tomorrow or yesterday or the day before, anytime this week, and they told you about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody hear that on a newscast? So I need to cast the news this morning. It's about Jesus. All situations about Jesus. So that's where we get to. And it said in 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And you know, that's what I've got this morning. Good tidings and glad tidings of good things. When we start talking about salvation, that's the most important thing we can do, is that we believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, confess it with our mouth and believe it in our heart. Amen. You know, we're in an upside down world. I talk to parents sometimes that'll have children, you know, this tall. They'll come home from school, they'll have a bad grade on a report card, and they'll just go to pieces. They'll just get beside themselves. Oh, they've made a bad grade on a report card. And they'll hire tutors to come in and help them to make a good grade. And they're lost. And they're not saying nothing. Worried more about a mark on a paper than salvation of God. You know, that's the world we're in. I know people that if their kids made an F on a spelling test, they'd have a heart attack. But yet the kids are lost and they never tell them about Jesus. I don't comprehend that. I don't understand. Failing a spelling lesson, you know, I failed a few. But after 10 or 15 years, nobody knew it. You know, everybody forgot that. But we're talking about eternal salvation. We're talking about eternity with God. Verse 16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as I said, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Now notice this, "but they have not all obeyed the gospel." Not everybody's obeyed. And what was this gospel? That you confess with your mouth, that you believe in your heart. Now when you truly believe something in your heart, that's what you've got. Had a lot of opportunities to stand here and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, as I preach it, and I agree with this word, but, you know, there are some times that I have concern about do people truly hear what it takes to be saved. Do they really apply themselves to salvation? You know, God's done His part. He let Jesus die on the cross of Calvary. It's not God's problem for you. It's your problem. It's for you to take care of. Let's look over, if you will, turn in St. Matthew chapter 7. St. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so we have the Word of God in Romans, and then we have this Word of God in St. Matthew, and it's talking about this gate and the way to get into heaven, and it's talking about the straight and narrow. Y'all see that? That's not my idea about the straight and narrow. God's got a plan for His children to walk. It's straight and narrow. That's the way you're going to get into heaven. And so that's God's plan. In verse 15, it said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." And so it starts making a difference in people. Amen. I'm not judging anybody. This is the Word of God, and God's Word is judgmental. That's just it. I can't get around that. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to try to smooth it over with you. I'm telling you what the Word of God said. In verse 18, it says, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." And so it starts talking about the judgment of God. And this is the way that we have it to understand it. In verse 19, "Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Everybody got it? "By their fruits you shall know them." I believe confessing with your mouth, believing your heart makes a difference. If Jesus didn't change something in your life, you better check up. Because Jesus brings change. If you're the same person you always were, you better check up. In verse 21, it said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And so now, what did we just read? "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." And if they've just confessed with their mouth and hadn't truly believed it in their heart, Jesus said, they're not coming into the kingdom. And so that's where I feel the obligation to tell you of a fact that, yes, you need to speak with your mouth. Yes, you need to believe it in your heart. And then God puts qualification on His children. If you're not a child of God, do anything you want to. Well, why not? But if you're a child of God, He's got a plan for you to direct you. It's straight and narrow. You know, it's straight and narrow. That's what it is. Let's look over, if you will, into 1 John chapter 5. Turn over there with me, if you will. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 9 in just a few minutes. I want to tell you a few things on the way over there while you're turning. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" And so, you know, God's telling us, He said, time has come that judgment must begin. And where's it going to begin? At the house of God. It begins here. And it gives us that indication that, okay, God is going to judge people. It's not my judgment. It's not your judgment. But it's the judgment of God. And He said it's going to begin at the house of God. Where? At this church. At all churches. And it gives us a very plain understanding. He said, "And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God?" And so here we go. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" And so we have this word of God that he's going to judge. You know, we pass the judgment. When you confess with your mouth, when you truly believe the word of God, God judges you. But then you become a child of God. Jesus moves in. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he testifies of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, what did I read right up here in the first verse 10? He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness. Who is the witness? Jesus. How do you spell witness? J-E-S-U-S. And where's that witness? In ourselves. So we have Jesus in ourselves. We have Jesus in us. You know, I went places that and took Jesus. I guess that I wouldn't have took one of y'all. Probably been embarrassed. Of course, I ain't been to a chicken fight in years, but, you know, years and years. But you go places that you'd be embarrassed to take one of your church members, but you'll take Jesus there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you've got him, he's in here. Be careful where you take him. And you know, I'm kind of funny about this too. I don't like to live in a dirty house. I just don't like it. You know, it's not always spotless, but it's got a standard to it. You know. But we're asking Jesus sometimes to live in a dirty house. You see this? A dirty house. We need to play a clean place for Jesus to live. He's in us, in this house, our tabernacle. You know, it speaks of that all through Scripture. He goes a little farther, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so it's very plain. You've either got Jesus, he's inside you, he's your Lord, he's your Savior, or you don't have life. You're dead. You know, you've either got him in life, or without him, you're dead. And I'm talking about spiritually. It said, these things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so he's wrote these things to us that believe on the name of the Son of God, that we may know that we have eternal life. Now that know we have eternal life. You know, people tell me, well, I don't understand how you can know. There's nothing absolute. This is all absolute. This whole Word of God is absolute. They'll tell me, say, well, how do you understand? How do you know that you're saved? First of all, I feel him. Amen. I feel him this morning. I felt him yesterday. I'm going to feel him tomorrow, thank God, and if I'm alive. But I feel the power of God within me. I hope you can feel the same power. I guess a good way to explain that, over 48 years ago, I married this lady sitting right here. Yeah, we stood up and we got married. It's been over 48 years, thank God. Good move. I married up. Well, we got married. We came back. We set up housekeeping after a short time. And I got up one morning and went into the bathroom. We shared a bathroom in that place. And I opened that cabinet up, and everything is different. I'm talking about that stuff in there I ain't never saw before. Everything changed because two of us have become one. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you come one with Jesus, everything changes. I knew I was married by looking in the cabinet. I knew I was married because there was somebody with me. You understand that? I knew I was married because she didn't go away. I knew I was married because Not only had I made a commitment to her, but she had made a commitment to me. Jesus made a commitment to you when y'all got married. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the commitment you're to make to Jesus when you're a son of God is, I'll follow your will in my life. Are you married to Christ? That's what he asked for. He don't want a date. He can get a date anywhere. He wants a marriage. He wants it eternal. He wants it forever. If you're thinking about just getting a date with Jesus, just hanging out, and a lot of people do, they just get a date, and then they're gone. Jesus is still here. But Jesus wants a marriage. I'm telling you, when I got married, I knew it. And when I got saved, I knew it. I still know it. Because I've got a companion. See what I'm saying? That's what Jesus wants to be. Marriage and a companion. He don't want a date. It's not what he's looking for. He wants a marriage. He wants you to know that, yes, he's Lord of your life. Yes, he moved in. I'm telling you, that morning we got back and we had the housekeeping set up. I'm telling you, it's different. Somebody moved in. Can y'all get that illustration? Somebody moved in. Things are never going to be the same. Never again. Y'all got it? When you get Jesus, that's what happens. Somebody moves in. And things will never be the same again. If it goes back to the same, you better check, did he ever move in? All right, y'all stand. We'll have a verse for song. We'll close this service out. I hope everybody here is sure about your salvation. If not, you've heard the Word of God. You've heard enough preached today to save the world. You know, that saved the world. Don't take much of that. A little bit goes a long way. You know, Jesus spoke one time of the leaven, and a little leaven is leaven of the whole lump. Well, preaching goes farther than that, under the Spirit and power of God. Are you married to Christ? Did he move in? Did things change in your life? That's the question.